Back on downtown, it's Mardi Gras. Cause for celebration for us, though, every Tuesday when Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company joins us in studio for Message in the Bottle. Welcome, sir.
Hi, everybody. Do I sound strange? I'm on a different microphone today.
Whoa, that is incredible. The processing.
It's so weird. Wow. I feel like I sound the same. Nah, Bruce bumped me. It's all good.
Wow. I have this one back.
You're over on my right.
I do sound different on this one, though.
I'm out of sorts.
I need to, next time I'm going to come in, I'm going to have Carrie mix me so I feel right. this is fine. As I told them, I'm equally adept at talking about drinking and drinking with both hands. As I proved today, by the way, I have to brag a little bit before I get into my topic. I was privileged to be invited to Cheval Restaurant in Portland this morning, and I do mean this morning, for a wonderful seminar on wines from both the Piedmont region of Sicily, the Piedmont region of Italy, Sicily, which I won't demean by calling part of Italy, and also the southern part of the Rhone, and paired with truffles, and it was decadent, but I do these things for you, and I want you to know that.
We appreciate it,
and you can invite us.
So decadent anytime. That apparently I took a picture of the. It was. You know, paired course, and we'll talk. Actually, I want to talk a little bit about my experience, not just to brag about it, but to reinforce a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this program. It was really monstrous to put this amount of decadence in front of someone at that point, and then say, you know, drive home to Bangor, and that was good. But what I was reminded of, I've tried a lot of these wines before. And when I'm talking about, you know, some of the wines were higher end, you know, of course, in Piedmont, you're getting Barolo and Barbaresco. We also had a Gattinara, which is, I believe, actually, we've tried a Gattinara on air before. So it's Nebbiolo from a little farther north from the famous places. Yeah. Very near Turin. And what I was really struck by is, and not that you have to invest in truffles in order to experience this, but a lot of these wines that I really was not impressed by, with just sort of in a standalone vacuum of a tasting, really, really sang once they were with food. And I've always thought it was kind of strange that, you know, here in this country, we've really gravitated. Like, I have to ask people, like, are you going to have this wine on its own or with food? Whereas it's almost a laughable concept. Like, you're eventually going to have this. You may be tasting it on its own now, but eventually you're going to be cracking this with a meal. And so many of these wines, and some of the wines that we're going to be talking about today during my topic, and some of the wines that we're going to be tasting at the store in the next couple of months, and we'll get into those as we schedule them, are these more natural wines. These wines that are made for they're actual agricultural products that taste fresh, that are fresh, that are in no way these heavy, smooth. If there's one designator, right, that you should worry about sometimes, it's smooth. Because smooth, straight out of the bottle for a really natural wine, means it's been micro-oxidized to death, and it's basically made for not thinking about. And I appreciate sometimes needing to get your drink on and not thinking about things. Believe me. I think it's important that we really start to think about, because you're going to start to see a lot of this, more natural wines coming from, and not, you know, especially with the tariff situation and that we're seeing a lot of, as we've predicted, wines from South America that are made in these styles, these very fresh, natural styles. So just something to keep in mind, keep aiming for the idea that wine is food, food is wine, and they really make each other sing in ways. It's like the Beatles, right? You know, some of your parts. So think about it. Originally, before I got here, and Carrie reminded me it's Fat Tuesday, and I had not selected a Mardi Gras themed song, and so I said put on anything by Dr. John, which is absolutely acceptable with me any day. I had picked Particle Man, right, from They Must Be Giants. That's a reference to one of their live albums. I don't actually forget the name of the band. I was thinking about talking about this whole fining, filtering. The segment of this today is called Sulfites, Fining, and Filtering, and Other Stuff People Worry About. And certainly sulfites are something that everybody worries about. And as I was mentioning, I am starting to see a lot of wines being brought into the U.S. that there is zero sulfur added. None. Now, do bear in mind that sulfites are naturally occurring process from fermentation in very, 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 very microscopic quantities. But that there are a lot more winemakers basically trusting the process of, you know, getting the products to you in good condition, that they're willing to do this. And not only willing, they are insisting on it at this point. It's a thing. So that being said, do remember that here in America, you know, this is government stipulated. Label says contains sulfites, or it says no added or zero. Yeah, but it's going to say contains sulfites because it does, unless it's been actually removed by a process. And the ones that are removed by a process, it does hurt their shelf life, and I think it takes out a little. I haven't had one yet that I'm like, wow, that's changed my mind. That could change. I've had a lot of things change my mind, which is cool. That's why I like kind of continually learning. But just bear in mind, right? As I said, first of all, sulfur dioxide, natural product, byproduct of fermentation. It is in all wine. Sulfites have been used for centuries to preserve wine. Wine is very volatile, and sulfites help it remain good in time after bottle. And the term sulfites is an inclusive term, right? For sulfur dioxide, SO2 is a preservative. It is widely used in winemaking and other parts of the food industry because of its antioxidant and antibacterial properties. It plays a very important role in preventing oxidization and maintaining a wine's freshness. Now, as I said, a lot of these winemakers are now trusting that they're going to still get these wines to you in good condition. But bear in mind that they're basing that on the fact that the wines themselves are made in ways that are a little more, shall I say, durable. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? I mean that those wines that have been smoothed before you ever have them are no longer durable. They will not age. They will not do anything like that. They are a product for tonight for your stress relief, right? And that's fine. As I said, there's a place for that. But you're going to open a lot of these natural wines. They're going to be higher in tannin because tannin is a natural preservative, and over time it does smooth out slash with air. It softens. The tannins soften with oxygen, right? So these are wines that you're going to maybe have to leave in your glass a little bit longer. Okay, no problem. They're wines that are going to be a little bit more intense, robust, maybe a little more acidic than you're used to because, again, the acidity gets softened once you open these wines. But they're wines that are basically meant to live in bottle. They're hardy. Think of them as hardy, right? They're hardy wines. And that's something that when people first taste them is a little, oh, okay. And then once you get used to it, it's all you want. I'm telling you. But, and so, for instance, the tasting we're having this Thursday, there's a wine from Umbria that I was a little hesitant to put on there because it's one of those like, wow, that is fresh. It's almost bracing like a really fresh vegetable or something. Like it, you know, crisps and crunches your mouth. It's kind of like that. And it's really fascinating and fabulous. And I'm curious about people's take on it. Just today I tried a completely sulfur, no sulfites added Syrah from a guy in California who's doing young vine stuff, who is insisting on not adding anything. And it smelled like Crow's Hermitage, which is a wonderful little place in the Rhone Valley. But I put it in my mouth and my gosh, my whole mouth shrunk up because of the tannin. So once that blows off, it's going to be gorgeous. But like if somebody tried that right out of the gate, they'd never want wine again. And I'd understand that because you need to kind of know these things going in. So, you know, that's why we're talking about it today, right? Or I'm talking about it and these other guys are just like, God, well, he just stopped so we can drink the wine.
No, by the way, I'm listening and I'm drinking.
And I'm drinking.
Yeah. By the way, so I don't run out of time, I should mention we are drinking the wine of the week right now. So if you go on YouTube or Facebook, you can see my review of the wine of the week. It is the Chateau de Montgueray Anjou Rouge. So Anjou, the famous village in the Loire, this part of the Loire where they have all the magnificent chateaux. And this is 100% Cabernet Franc. As you'll see in the video or in my descriptions online, Cabernet Franc, a fantastic food wine, something that I love as we start to break out the grills now that there's snow is melting off of them and all that fantastic stuff. So do check it out. It's very, very affordable. $14.39 this week, down from $15.99. Wow. So it's just killer juice. And I'm a big Cab Franc fan just in general. And I think you all should be too. But it's one of those I've kind of given up. I think it's only going to be wine geeks for the rest of my life who are going to be constantly preaching the merits of Cab Franc.
I love Cab Franc.
And we're going to be the ones who get to enjoy it. And that's fine. I mean, it's what it is. But I would love it if more people would get to know it because there's enough of it to go around. Like, unlike certain places like, you know, the steep Mosel or wherever, where there's just a very, very, very finite amount of really, really excellent slopes and people die trying to harp. Like, the Loire, there's enough good ground that these people can supply you. So drink your Cab Franc. I want to hit finding and filtering clarification, stuff like that too. Again, these are things where you're trying to get out like dead yeast cells, which are the lees, right? When people tell you that they leave the wine on the lees for a little while to create more of a sort of a creamy and weighty thing. That's what they are. It's the dead yeast that, you know, you use to ferment, right? Bacteria, tartrates, proteins, pectins, various tannins, and other phenolic compounds, as well as grape skin, pulps, stems, and gums. And that's cool. But there's levels you can filter to and levels you can find to. By the way, we should talk about, when we're talking about fining, this is asked a lot because of people who are vegan, vegetarian, interested in what's going on. Fining is a process where a substance, a fining agent, right? You add it to your wine and it absorbs, it creates an ionic bond with suspended particles. Particle man. and produces larger molecules and larger particles that will precipitate out of the wine, right? That's called fining. One of the ways they used to do that was with egg whites. Another way is with very, very fine particles of chalk. And other ways like that. But people who want to know that, you know, like egg whites were used, that can be a question that might pop up. As a wine merchant, I can tell you sometimes it's extraordinarily hard to find that out unless you've like been to the winery and ask it specifically. Because frankly, and I don't want to make sweeping generalizations, but a lot of Europeans just don't even think about that and think that we'd want to know until we're like, no, we'd like to know. So just bear that in mind, that it's not always possible for us to exactly get you the answer on some of these. You know, my crusty grandfather makes this in his, you know, shed out back, and it's the best stuff on earth, but he doesn't understand what you're asking. That does happen. But, you know, the choice to fine and filter, again, amongst the more natural folks out there, they're choosing less and less to do this, to filter especially, because frankly, it kills the life of the wine just the same way. Anytime you manipulate that product, right, you're changing the life of the wine, which is why when you go out into your garden in, you know, a couple months and you harvest whatever you're harvesting, that right there is the ultimate, right? Nothing has touched it except Mother Nature. And any little bit that gets, you know, processed from there affects the overall quality. So these are things to keep in mind. It doesn't mean that, you know, this is the end all be all. This is the end all be all. But, you know, there's a lot of questions, and I, you know, never be afraid to ask them of your friendly neighborhood wine merchant. Do come this Thursday. I know we have a storm coming, and we all know what that means. Who the heck knows what that means? But we will be having a tasting from 5 to 7 p.m. We'd love to see you. We are going to be trying some really excellent wines. And our friend Andre, who's also very knowledgeable about both food and wine, and is a farmer himself and a very cool guy, would be happy to answer your questions. We'd love to see you. And as I said, we're coming up with some really cool things for mud season. It's coming. So we'll see you next Tuesday for, what are we going to talk about? Oh, we're talking about packaging options. Check out that package. Nice. Next nice. Tuesday. Whoa. On Downtown.
I think all you needed today was a bit more sachet.
Oh, killing me, Smalls.
Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle comes your way every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown. And of course, all of Eric's segments can be found on the website. Click on the Message in the Bottle tab at downtownwithrichkimble.com. We've got a little break for news from CBS coming up. On the other side, Colin Fleming, Dennis Price, Good, Bad, and Ugly. Not but a little Particle Man to get us to the break.
It's glorious. Thanks, Rich.